One. Two. Three.
Fire!
In five.
Welcome back to Fokker in 5. This is part 2 of the Man in Cardiac Arrest episode. If you haven't heard part 1, I invite you to take a few minutes and do so first, as this is the conclusion of that story. When we left off in episode 1, Mr. J had been transferred successfully to the cardiac care unit. Unfortunately, he coded twice more during that shift. We don't often have the ability to follow up on patients once they leave our unit, so I wasn't really aware of Mr. J's outcome. But something pretty incredible happened. About 6 months later, I came on shift, took report from the day nurse. I started my rounds, and upon entering one of my patient's rooms, a female patient in her 70s, I couldn't help but notice her face just lit up with a great big smile. I went through my normal assessment, checked her vital signs, laid out a plan for the shift, and as I was about to leave the room, she looked at me and said, "You don't remember me, do you?" I searched my memory for just a moment and had to admit to her that I was sorry, but I didn't remember her. She said, "Oh, well, I was here before and you were my nurse then too." About an hour later, I was sitting in the nursing station doing some charting when two males walked by on the other side of the glass. Staring right at me, at first I thought they were NBA players given their stature, as this was a large hospital in Metro Atlanta and we often had athletes and celebrities stop by. The next time I did my rounds, I stopped in to check on the patient from earlier, and I found about 6 new people in the room. A younger female gave me a great big smile as soon as I walked through the door and told me that I was her angel, quote-unquote, her angel. Needless to say, this caught me by surprise, and all of a sudden I felt like I was the only one who had no idea what was going on. The two males from earlier came over and shook my hand and began thanking me profusely. It was right at this time that the patient then clued me in that she was actually Mrs. J from the night of Mr. J's cardiac arrest. The younger female that greeted me when I walked through the door looked at me, started crying, and said, "You saved our father's life. We almost lost him without being able to say goodbye." An RN should always be empathetic, but able to keep emotional distance from any situation. I freely admit I was failing at that for the first time and feeling pretty overwhelmed by what was happening. Mrs. J slowly raised her arm and pointed over toward the back corner of the room. There was an elderly man, sharply dressed with a hat and a cane, sitting in a chair by the window that I hadn't noticed when I first walked in. He slowly stood up, reached out his hand to shake mine. I immediately knew that it was Mr. J. The last time I saw him, he was unresponsive while we worked to save his life. But this was his first time meeting me. The two sons told me that I gave them a wonderful gift, more time with their father. Most of the times when I perform CPR, it's basically just a patient in the room and they're unaware of what's going on, obviously. And the only people that really observe the code are coworkers. In this instance, Mrs. J not only had a front row seat to what transpired, she was pretty much right in the middle of the mix. As I discussed in part one, that was just a very unusual and unfamiliar experience for me, to say the least, to be back in the presence of someone that had actually observed those events and also has such a close attachment to the person that we were working on. Mrs. J was only admitted to our unit for overnight 24-hour observation, so she was discharged the following morning. It just so happens that I had picked up a 4-hour shift that night from 7 to 11 for some overtime. I was not originally scheduled to work and obviously had no idea what was going to happen. I've always believed that things happen for a reason, and I can't help but think about how the most incredible and unexpected reunion that I've ever been a part of nearly never happened. I'll always be the first to point out that what we do as nurses, even during a code situation, is a routine part of our training and our job. And my role that night was just one small part of a team effort. But today, nearly 20 years later, I often think of the J family And it was humbling and inspiring to witness firsthand the difference that one can make in the lives of both the patient and their loved ones. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this two-part episode, I hope you'll consider subscribing and stopping by for future content. You can also find me on Twitter, at FiveFocker. That's at FiveFocker. In the words of Jerry Springer, take care of yourself and each other.
Focker, out.